You're listening to Rockwire.com, online radio that rocks. This edition of Jazzed in Blue is dedicated to the memory of Amy Winehouse. From Rockwired Sound in Albuquerque, New Mexico, of all places, this is Jazzed in Blue. Profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at Rockwire.com. Today, Jazzed in Blue profiles Broadway veteran Leah Salonja and her latest release, The Journey So Far. Stick around for more. Jazzed in Blue is a production of Rockwired Media LLC, a limited liability company. Please stand by. Welcome to the latest edition of Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at Rockwire.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and I'm thrilled to be featuring Tony-winning and Olivier-winning Broadway veteran Leah Salonja, who has just released her latest CD, The Journey So Far, an engaging live set recorded at Café Carlisle. Salonja is noted for originating the role of Kim in the long-running Broadway hit Miss Saigon and was the first Asian to play the role of Eponine in Les Miserables. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Leah regarding her new release, and you'll hear all of that in just a few minutes. From her CD, The Journey So Far, here is Leah Salonja with My Romance. Let's fall in love.
Oh, come on. Did you really think I was going to do the entire show in Filipino? My Romance doesn't have to have a moon in the sky. My romance doesn't need a blue lagoon standing by. No month of May, no twinkling stars, no hideaway, no soft guitar. Doesn't need a castle rising in Spain or a dance to a constantly surprising refrain. Wide awake, I can make my most fantastic dreams come true. My romance doesn't need a thing but you. Are made of it, let's take a chance. Why be afraid of it? Let's close our eyes and make our own paradise. Little we know of it, still we can try to make a go of it. We might have been meant for each other. Now is the time for it. Now is the time for it. Let's fall in love, to be or not to be. Let our hearts discover romance. Why should we romance? We know of it, still we can try to make a go of it. We might have been meant for each other. Let our hearts discover. Let's fall.
from the Philippines. That is where I was born and raised, and that is where I now live with my own family. In that first song, Salamat Salamat Musika is actually a thank you to the music. And it's not just that I'm being polite, but in my home country, music is an essential part of our daily lives. I've been singing for as long as I can remember. And if anybody was to ask me when exactly I started singing, I don't think I could pinpoint an exact time or place or event. I do come from an artistic family. Sculptors, actors, even prima ballerinas. And my mother encouraged my brother and me to continue in the tradition. I think I was about 9 years old when my mom had the bright idea that I should record an album. But the question is, what songs? Usually in the Philippines, you'll see these pretty little girls in their pretty little dresses singing, "The Minute You Walked in the Joint." Or they would be singing love songs. And my mom would say, "Ay nako, she has no right to sing love songs. She's only 9. What does she know?" So we went with this.
From her CD, The Journey So Far, that was Leah Salonja with My Romance, Let's Fall in Love. Visit Leah at her official website, www.leahsalonja.com. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Leah regarding her new release, and here's how the interview went.
Well, you've captured a moment in time with this new live recording. Now that it's out there for people to hear, how do you feel about the end result?
I'm actually really happy. I wanted my first outing at the Cafe Carlyle to be, well, immortalized would be the wrong word to use, but at least preserved for posterity, at the very least, so that I would have a really well-recorded memory of a really wonderful time. I mean, it was my debut, and I did have another Cafe Carlyle run a year later, which was just last June, and that was a good time. And we really had and the reviews that came in were fantastic. The music that I got to sing was pretty incredible, too. But because that was my debut, I kind of felt that it was an introduction into something that was very new for me. And I just wanted to make sure that I had a really well-produced souvenir, I guess, of the evening. And Jay Messina mixed it and just made it sound really, really incredible. And his input and everything that he had done with it just really, you know, exceeded my expectations of how great it was going to sound on CD and all. It was good.
Now, why the Carlyle?
When I was first asked to be, you know, to perform at the Carlyle, one of my first questions in my head was, what is the Carlyle? And I really wasn't aware of the cabaret world. I was very ignorant as to a lot of the artists, a lot of the venues. I mean, I'd heard about Feinstein's, and I'd heard about Don't Tell Mamas and Birdland, but never really the Carlyle. But a lot of my friends who are, you know, complete New Yorkers all said that that is quite possibly the most prestigious cabaret room in this city, and that so many incredible singers have stepped on, you know, that little stage in that beautiful room and, you know, showed off their stuff. And the great thing about that room is that it's intimate, which can be challenging. But at the same time, because of its intimacy, it's lent to a very familiar and familial atmosphere, like singing in somebody's living room. And because it's such a tiny room, it was great for me that I felt like I don't have to push so hard, I don't have to try so hard, and you know, I can just kind of really focus on an emotion of song rather than having to think about, okay, I've got to slam this note against the back wall so that, you know, so that somebody who's possibly deaf in the back can hear me. That was pressure that was taken off my shoulders, which is pretty nice. But yeah, everybody that I spoke to regarding the room and the people that have performed there, it kind of made me feel really, really starstruck, and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it sounds like quite a jump from doing, you know, Madison Square or something like that, or
yeah,
that equivalent to doing this. You know.
Uh-huh.
Well, so the intimacy is a little more of an issue then.
It can be. Well, the thing about intimacy for me is that it can be a challenge if you're used to playing, I guess, some of the bigger venues, or if you're used to being, I guess, technologically manipulated. I don't know what other words to use, because the one thing that I've found singing in any intimate venue is that you can't hide behind anything. The only thing that you have going for you really is that you have a microphone and it's hooked up directly to a mixer and from that mixer it goes out into the speakers. So there really isn't anything that is separating you from the audience. And you can't hide behind auto-tune, you can't hide behind super mega reverb, and you're only with three musicians, so every single person in the room can see whatever tricks you're pulling, and whatever you've got in your hat, everybody in that room pretty much can see what's happening. It's kind of performing a magic trick in front of an audience that can actually see how the trick is being performed. But the challenge is trying to still make that somehow a magical moment, despite them seeing everything. And I don't know if a lot of other singers that have performed there feel the same way, but that's how I feel performing in that venue. I feel naked. And, okay, you can see everything. You can hear everything. If I crack on this note, you'll be able to hear it. And, yeah, it can be challenging, but at the same time, it's really fun. And I think a lot of singers that felt that way and went in there and sang, I guess they were all up to that challenge and did a great job.
And from the recording, what songs or moments, you know, resonate for you the most when you hear it?
I guess whenever I sing anything that's Filipino, it'll always resonate with me. I am acutely aware that there are people in the room, a lot of people in the room, that have no idea what's coming out of my mouth. But the additional challenge for me is how to make that, how to make it relatable to, you know, somebody who does not speak the language at all. But it's the first song that I sing is called Salamat, Salamat Musika. It's just an incredible amount of fun. It's just fun for me to sing. And really all it means is, you know, you're just thanking music for how life-changing it is and how much a part of life and everyday life it is, and how it makes, you know, everything just more beautiful and more vibrant. But for a personal note, the moment for me that really stands out is There's Nothing I Wouldn't Do. And my husband happened to be in the audience that night, as well as a few of my best friends. I mean, one of my best friends was babysitting my daughter because she was jet-lagged and falling asleep, and so he volunteered very nicely to just make sure that if she woke up, she didn't, you know, bump into a table. So my husband was in the room, so people knew that he was in the room, and they were cheering extra loud because of what the song's about. And I found myself giggling and trying to keep a straight face while I was singing the song. But it was just more fun with him in the room.
Visit Leah at her official website, www.leahsalonja.com. From her CD, The Journey So Far, here is Leah once again with Someone to Watch Over Me.
There's a saying old says that love is blind. Still we're often told, seek and ye shall find. So I'm going to seek a certain lad I've had in mind. Looking everywhere, haven't found him yet. He's the big affair I cannot forget. Only man I ever think of with regret. like to add his initial to my monogram. Tell me, where is the shepherd for this lost lamb? There's a somebody I'm longing to see. I hope that he turns out to be someone who'll watch over me. I'm a little lamb who's lost in a wood. I know I could always be good to one who'll watch over me. Although he may not be the man some girls think of as handsome, to my heart he carries the key. You tell him, please, to put on some speed. Follow my lead. Oh, how I need someone who will watch over me. Tell him, please, to put on some speed. Follow my lead. Oh, how I need someone to watch over me.
Listening to Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at rockwire.com, online radio that rocks. Rockwire.com proudly presents the Rockwired Artist of the Month, Earth and the Next Society, and their Steering Live CD, Live Earth. In an age of cynicism and doubt, Earth and the Next Society issue passionate calls for change with bravado despair. Rock and roll hasn't been this epic in years, and this electrifying live set is the perfect introduction to a band with a message in these uncertain times. Live Earth from Earth and the Next Society, Rockwire.com's Artist of the Month. Visit the band at earthandthenextsociety.com. With a new name, a new sound, and a new direction, Revel 9 releases their debut CD, The Razorblade Diaries. Armed to the teeth with a potent combination of sturdy songcraft and pure rock and roll, Revel 9 is set to turn the industry on its ear with songs such as San Jose, All I've Become, and Lay My Head.
Just a bit.
The Razorblade Diaries from Revel 9. Visit the band at www.revel9.com. Singer-songwriter Mark Anderson has seen all of life's ups and downs and has lived to sing about them on his latest release, Back from the Edge. Mark Anderson hits a nerve with a collection of gritty rock gems and backing from an impressive cast of musicians. With songs such as Dog on a Chain, Cat House Blues, and the electrifying first single, Truth Is, Back from the Edge will have you on the edge of your seat. Back from the Edge from Mark Anderson. Visit Mark at www.markandersonrocks.com. Put a little Rockwired on ya. Rockwired.com has just relaunched its merchandise page filled with t-shirts, long-sleeved shirts, hoodies, mugs, and caps. Trust me, nothing looks better on the human body than clothing that shows your support of online radio that rocks. All shirts and jackets are available in all sizes and brought to you by Cafe Press. Visit our store at rockwired.com/merchandise.html. All major credit cards are accepted. Rockwired.com, online radio that rocks. Rockwire.com proudly presents our latest weekly series, Jazzed in Blue, Profiles in Blues and Jazz, with your host Brian Lush, exclusively at Rockwire.com, every Sunday at noon Eastern Standard Time. Get lost in the sensual sounds of blues and jazz and get the stories behind it. Jazzed in Blue, Profiles in Blues and Jazz, exclusively at Rockwire.com. Online radio that rocks. Rockwired Media is pleased to present a new weekly online radio series, Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary native music. Hear the exciting sound of Indigenous America and Canada in a weekly two-hour show filled with exclusive interviews and music from Indian country's hottest recording artists. Aboriginal Sounds, a celebration of contemporary native music with your host Brian Lush, every Thursday at 5 p.m. Mountain Time, exclusively at rockwired.com. Online radio that rocks. Yeah, You're listening to Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at rockwire.com, online radio that rocks. Welcome back to the latest edition of Jazzed in Blue, profiles in blues and jazz exclusively at rockwire.com. I'm your host, Brian Lush, and today we're giving it up for Broadway veteran Leah Salonja, who has just released her latest CD, The Journey So Far. Rockwired had a chance to speak with Leah not only about her new release, but about her career in Broadway as well, and here's how the rest of the interview went.
You were essentially born on the Broadway stage.
I wouldn't exactly say that, but I've been doing musical theater a long time.
I see. And talk about your first Broadway experience.
Well, my very first Broadway, as in just musical theater in general, or Broadway specifically New York?
Broadway specifically New York.
Okay.
Yeah.
I arrived at the city when I was 19. I was turning 20. And it was my very first time in the city, but I do remember it feeling like home from the minute I got out of the car and stepped on the sidewalk. It was like, you know, I saw the skyline of New York City as we were driving from the airport, and that got me excited immediately. And then when I finally got out of the car in front of our hotel, it was the Mayflower Hotel we stayed at, and I think it was on Central Park West. I was just blown over by how much energy you feel coming through your feet, like from the pavement into your body. And I'm like, okay, I've never felt this before. I guess that means that this is where home is for me. I guess my heart just knew that this is where I belonged. And we rehearsed Miss Saigon, I guess, for about 2 months before moving into the, for about maybe 6 weeks before moving into the theater, and then we were checking the show for about almost 3 weeks. Never saw a show on Broadway and until I don't know how many months after I opened. So, yeah. So my very first, I don't even remember what the first Broadway show was that I got to watch.
Wow.
Yeah, so my first experience of Broadway was performing on it, not even seeing anything.
Did you ever anticipate Miss Saigon being the hit that it was going to be, or did you have any knowledge of that at all? Or
well, by the time I actually got into New York, it already was a huge hit in London, and it had gotten a few awards. It was definitely getting a lot of notice from the public, and it was pretty much, you know, always full house every single night for about a year. And because of a lot of the controversy that was surrounding the show at the time, even when we were in rehearsal, I remember the director telling the entire group of people in the room, we don't know really if the show is going to last a week. We don't know how long this is going to run because of what's going on around it. So the only thing we can do is just do our jobs as best as we can and put on, you know, a show with honesty and with truth. And it was really a great speech for him to give all of us, because of there was so much controversy regarding the casting of Jonathan Pryce in this role. There was then additional trouble with regards to bringing me over to reprise my role here on Broadway. So, you know, and so none of us really knew how long the show would run. We didn't know if it was going to be a hit. We didn't know. We just didn't know. We had no idea what the outcome was going to be. But thankfully, obviously, everything worked pretty well. The show ran for almost 10 years on Broadway.
Right.
And that's pretty incredible by any standard for a show to last as long as it did, and for it to touch as many people as it did. I mean, there were Vietnam veterans, I think, who came to see the show and were just emotionally taken over. I mean, because they had to live the experience for real, and then to come and see the show and see, you know, I guess how real it was to them. It was more than a compliment to any of the cast and crew and production team and creative staff. You know, it was just something that touched us, hearing something like that.
And how about Les Mis? How was that different? How was that production different? I mean, other than the setting, obviously. But
well, yeah, well, there's that. I mean, set in the student revolution of 1812.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of people make the mistake of thinking it's about the French Revolution. It's not. But anyway, I digress. I guess the experience for me was, well, I was the only Asian performer in the show at the time, and it was one of those things where I was like, okay, this is the palest that I will ever be, and I'm still darker than everybody else. I had the darkest head of hair. I had the darkest skin, and I mean, I was really, really grateful for the experience because not very long before they gave me a call and said, we want to cast you as Eponine Les Mis. I mean, my agent said, okay, we're sending you to this audition for this other musical. I'm like, all right. And then 10 minutes later, he calls me back. They really don't want to see you because you're Asian. So I'm like, wow, I already have a Tony, and it's, I guess it doesn't matter.
Wow.
Yeah, it was kind of difficult. It was a little difficult to hear that. Because I had grown up in a country where I was a member of the majority, where, you know, I never felt like a member of the minority because, well, I wasn't, you know, I never had, I guess, that kind of baggage where I had to try and prove that I was better than so many other people by virtue of looking different. However, when I did get Les Mis, I was hearing talk that, oh, this is just stunt casting. I mean, she got her Tony from Miss Saigon, and this is probably just one of those things where, you know, it's going to just boost ticket sales for the winter, and she's in it for 3 months, and that kind of, it's just a publicity stunt or whatever. And I'm a very competitive person, and I don't like that kind of talk around me or about me. So I really had it in my head to work really, really hard in order to do, to be as best as I could be vocally and emotionally for that role, so that no one in their right mind could fault me for anything that I was doing up on that stage. I felt that I had something to prove. You will not be seeing Kim, you will not be seeing Miss Saigon up there. You know, this is the character that I'm going to be. This is what I'm supposed to do. This is a song I'm supposed to sing, and you know, I'm gonna prove to every naysayer that I'm the right person for the job. So yeah, I did it for about 3 months, and I got invited to sing for the 10th anniversary, and then I got invited to do the role again in London, which was cool, which was really fun. So yeah, there was that. I guess my headspace going into that show was very different. I mean, in Miss Saigon, I'm one of many Asian cast members.
Right.
I just happen to be, you know, the title character, or playing the title character. In Les Miserables, you know, I guess I understood what it felt like to be, you know, a member of a minority and feeling like you have something to prove. I just wanted to prove that, number one, those people that didn't want to see me for that other musical were wrong. And, you know, it's just in my head. And that I was the best person for the job at the time.
It's probably a little too soon to ask this question, but what sort of musical project can we expect from you in the after this release?
Well, after this release, I'm actually working on. It's currently in a stage of development now. It's a musical called Allegiance, and the music and the lyrics are written by a man named Jay Kuo, K-U-O, and the book is written by Jay and another man named Lorenzo Tione, T-H-I-O-N-E. And it's about a family's experience as Japanese-Americans interned during World War II. And so there are quite a, you know, it was a very divisive time even within the Japanese-American community. You know, there was a faction that said, okay, we just have to basically suck it up and endure this, and we will one day have, you know, come out of this camp. There is also another dissenting faction, you know, saying you've taken away our rights, and you know we will resist the draft until our families are out of these camps. So there's all this stuff going on, and then it's really the experience of this one family, and where they kind of stand, where they are politically, where their alliances are, as far as, you know, certain key people who were, I guess, the movers and shakers in World War II. It's pretty interesting, and the music's actually really good. It is being produced. We're doing a workshop at the end of this month, and it's being produced by the Old Globe in San Diego. Right now, I think the plan is to head to San Diego next summer for an actual production of the show. And then after that, we'll see. Nothing on Broadway planned yet, but if all goes well with Allegiance, then maybe New York City will be the next destination.
What would you like a person to come away with after they've heard this CD?
Good question. I really don't know. I mean, I came away with it feeling exhilarated every time I sang that music, and it's kind of, I guess, a little snapshot of my career, I guess. I kind of wanted to introduce people to my voice with the stuff that they've probably heard before. It's like, oh yeah, she's the one that sang that. Before I went into other territory, you know, continuing performances of the Carlisle and stuff. I guess I just want people to come away with having heard my voice and finally, I guess, putting a face to that faceless young woman who would lend her voice to animated characters, one. And as, I guess, as somebody who does musical theater and it not be a traditional quote-unquote sound, I guess I just want people to come away with, oh yeah, she sings really, really good.
Visit Leah at her official website, www.leahsalonja.com. From her CD, The Journey So Far, here is Leah once more with There's Nothing I Wouldn't Do.
I wanna lick your stamps. I wanna squeeze your fruit. I wanna copy your keys. I wanna polish your skis. I wanna dry clean your suit. I long to renew your passport. I wanna walk your collie. Get your Nova Scotia salmon. You can put on your Bialy. Cause baby, when it comes to you, there's nothing I wouldn't do. I wanna wash your car. I wanna scramble your eggs. Your salad I will toss. Of course I'll help you floss. Rub tiger balm on your legs. Oh baby, cause in your love I am enveloped. Gonna mosey down to Photomat and get your film developed. Cause baby, when it comes to you, there's nothing I wouldn't do. Some show their love by writing a letter. Some stumble over mountain and sea. But does that show my love one more iota than making sure your soda's caffeine free? I long to fold your socks. I'll organize your closet. And baby sweet, if you like, I'll buy blue bags and recycle all your bottles for deposit. I long to do all your taxes. I'll make a quesadilla. I'll rent a van for two, and then I'll drive you to IKEA. Cause baby, when it comes to you, there's nothing I wouldn't do. Oh, everyone does that old diamond ring thing. What's more passe than a rose? What could ruin my heart indeed more than going to Duane Reade and buying aloe vera Kleenex for your nose? I long to wool like your fine washables. I want to roll your quarters. Oh, my dear, whatever you crave now, you know I'm your slave. Now I'm just waiting for my order. I'm gonna go with you to yoga. I'll buy some shorts for biking. I'll break up every bunch so each banana's to your liking. And baby, when it comes to you, to show you that my love is true. There's nothing I wouldn't do.
To download this portion of the show, simply scroll to the bottom of the page and click where it says Download Part 1. Jazzed in Blue will be back with our nonstop music block featuring Terrence Blanchard, Dee Dee Bridgewater, Marilyn McLeod, Kelly Lee Evans, Barbara Martin, and more, so stay right where you are.